the Healing Through Love podcast with Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson. In episode 132, discover how positive psychology boosts happiness and resilience with expert Diane Lang.
Chewing gum, believe it or not, or any repetition of chewing also reduces nervousness and worry. It also improves memory, which is a bonus. So you can carry gum with you. I have some clients who will just make sure that if they know they're going into a very nervous situation where there's food involved, they'll take like carrots or celery, like if there's dip, and they'll just have something that you're constantly chewing, because the repetition of chewing, again, will do it. So it doesn't have to be gum, but gum works. So those are a few things. The self-talk, the using your senses, mindfulness, which is a grounding technique, or the cold. And of course, you can either, again, even if you're driving, sitting in a restaurant, you can go into a bathroom or outside, just doing some deep breathing. And again, it doesn't have to be anything major. You could just literally inhale through your nose, hold, exhale through your mouth, and repeat for about a minute. No one will really notice your.
Welcome to another episode of Healing Through Love. Each week, we share ideas, experiences, and resources to increase the awareness of domestic and family violence and to empower survivors to grow and thrive. We talk with experts who share their advice, or with people who have experienced abuse, no matter where they are on their journey. This is all about healing through love. And now, here are your hosts, Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson.
Hello and welcome to the Healing Through Love podcast, a space where stories of strength, resilience, and transformation unfold. I'm your host, Charlene Lynch, and I'm honored to be your guide on this journey of empowerment and healing. Today, we have a very special episode tailored just for you. Whether you're driving the car or sipping a cup of tea, or just simply taking a moment to yourself, I want you to know that you're in a safe place. Healing Through Love is more than a podcast. It's a community, a beacon of hope, a reminder that you are not alone. In this episode, we're going to share stories that resonate at the core of our mission, a story that illuminates the power of love, resilience, and unwavering strength that lies within each and every one of us. So settle in, take a deep breath, and let the healing begin. But before we dive into today's inspiring narrative, a quick reminder that if you find value in our episodes, consider supporting us by subscribing, sharing, and leaving a review. Your engagement helps us reach the hearts and spread the message of healing at the speed of love. Today, we've got a very, very special guest, and her name is Diane Lang. Now, she's a practicing counselor. She's a national speaker, an educator, and certified positive psychology coach, and has her master's degree in counseling. She is amazing. There's so many stories, but we want to start with asking Diane, how did you get here? What's brought you to a place where you are invested so heavily in helping people heal?
Well, thank you so much for having me today. I feel really honored to be here. For me, I have been in this field for over 20 years, showing my age. And I got into the field originally because I had such a hard time growing up in pretty much a home without any love and feeling very low self-worth for a majority of my life. So it started off in childhood, then it, you know, followed me into my teens, my 20s, my 30s, and having low self-worth, always feeling like you're not good enough, going down that people pleaser route because you want to make everybody happy and you're always looking for acceptance and approval. And by going into graduate school and learning more about myself, going through the therapy journey myself, going to a therapist really led me to wanting to help others. You know, part of the reason I think we want to help others, and what I tell my students all the time, is it heals us. You know, it makes us feel better. The more we heal others, we can heal ourselves. So it's been a journey. I've learned a lot about myself as well. And I've done a mix of both counseling, coaching, and I've been teaching college over 20 years. So I've been in the field for a long time now.
Well, you just don't look that old, Diane, just saying.
Feels that way.
It is a calling, isn't it, to to heal others. It's something you either have or you don't have. I fundamentally believe all humans want to make a difference. I think that's part of our DNA. But wanting to heal others, that's another level. And in order for us to heal others, we have to be healed ourselves. So if you're okay to have this conversation, what tools and techniques have you used to help yourself heal?
God, you know, if I think back to it, it took me a really long time. And I always want to say to people, it's a journey. It's really a process. And even though I've done a lot of healing and I'm in a really good place that I could talk about my childhood, I could talk about past trauma, and it doesn't bring me into such a sad state, it took a really long time to get there. And I still have triggers. And that's something I want everybody to know. No matter how much work you do, whether it's through therapy, through coaching, even if it's EMDR or any kind of type or therapy you did for yourself, it's still always going to have some triggers here and there. The good news is that when we have triggers, we get through them much quicker or more aware. So for me, it was really a long journey of finding myself. And one of the biggest things that I've done for myself is, and I call myself a recovering people pleaser, because for so many years, I was just looking for acceptance and approval from everybody else. Even though it's an inside job and we all know that, we still look for it outside. And some of it's age. As we age, we get more confident. And I realized that too. When I first started in the field, 2000, I think it was, 1999, 2000, I still remember having clients come in and say, you know, all of a sudden you hit like 50, 51, and you just don't give a crap what other people think about you. And I used to be like, wow, really? Like, does that really happen? And there's some real big truth to that. As much as we hate aging, when we hit around 50, or, you know, it varies for everybody, but middle adulthood, you know, kind of in midlife, we start realizing that we don't need other people's approval or attention. And we start developing our own self-worth and our confidence between our experience, our wisdom, our resiliency. That kind of settles itself. But some of it is really just feeling all of your emotions, whatever you've been through. Because the more we push it down, the more we cover it up, the more shame we add to it. And just sometimes bringing it up to the air and talking about it, whether it's through therapy or just getting it out. For some people, it's really like expressive writing, writing out what they've been through and getting it out kind of starts the healing process. But we first have to really become self-aware what has happened to us, what we need to deal with, and really starting to acknowledge that it was there and bringing it up to the surface. I know for me, when I went to therapy, because I also went to therapy before I even finished grad school, one of the things was knowing that when it came to the surface, it actually lost a lot of power. So as much as it's really hard to bring up our past trauma and pain that we've been through, once it reaches the air and it comes out, it literally starts losing power instantly, because the more we push it down, the more shame we feel. And then it leads into the shame spiral and embarrassment. And then we stay in that low self-worth, but we bring it out and sometimes using it, like sharing your story. So it might not even be in a therapy kind of situation, maybe just sharing your story with friends or family, community, and you're getting it out. And then people really feel that, wow, I relate to that. I've been through something like that. And just being empathetic to other people allows you to be more compassionate and kind and empathetic to yourself, which is really hard to do because we're really good at being compassionate and kind to everybody else, but not ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really starting to feel those emotions, bringing it up to the surface, being self-aware, not letting it just sit down there and, you know, it's going to eventually rear its ugly head. So let it come out, bring it out, whether it's through therapy, whether it's through coaching, any type of expressive writing, mindfulness to really release it is one of the first steps that really work for me. And I've seen work for a lot of clients. So, and you know, you said something before, it's that we like helping others. And by sharing our story, we're actually helping others to share their story. Mm. And you know, that's what a lot of us do when we're in a group program. So let's say you're part of a group coaching or counseling program, just hearing other people's stories, letting you know that you're not alone and that other people understand or empathize, even though all of us have had different stories, we could always understand and empathize with the emotions behind it, the stress, the anxiety, the fear, the overwhelm, the anger, the hurt. We can all connect to that. So that's the first thing I think is really important. I always say you need to feel it to heal it. So bring it up. And also a reminder, what you're feeling is not just going to come up emotionally or mentally, it's going to come up physically on your body. And that's a tool that we can use too, that mind-body connection. So we call our body the pain body because we hold all of those negative emotions on our body. And I hate calling them negative. They're natural, they're normal, but they're way more intense than positive emotions. But you know, just by doing that, we start the healing process. So really feeling those emotions, connecting to it physically on your body, wherever that is, that's just an alarm going off saying, hey, it's really, you know, it's still here. You're getting migraines, your stomach's always having issues, something's going on that just wakes you up to starting the healing process.
Oh, I love that. There is so much in your response. We could be chatting for a week. I love it.
I told you I could babble. I gave you the warning.
I love it, Diane. So, obviously, it comes with that level of awareness. And the challenge is, I've found, because I'm a recovering everything, is that in my journey to get from where I was to where I am now, is that the awareness happens sometimes at the most inappropriate places. And it can be when you're in a group setting, it can be at a party, it can be when there are other people around, and you've got this level of awareness. Oh dear, what do you do with that? Because you cannot process, right? Like, you cannot grab a napkin and start writing things down. You cannot go all internal. Like, there's things that you don't have the capacity to do when you're in a mixed group. So, how do you handle these levels of awareness that come up that give us a trigger? And for the audience, I know that we've had conversations about triggers before, but that's anything that gives you a type of reaction, either in your body or what's happening inside of your mind too, the quiet things you say to yourself, and everyone else has stopped talking and you keep talking. So how do we, do you have some tools and techniques around how do we handle these levels of triggers that come up when we're in a mixed environment and we are not in a position to process?
So, unfortunately, we can't always know when a trigger is going to come up. You know, there's some specific triggers we know it's going to happen. You know, I had a client who was in a car accident. When he gets in the car, it causes anxiety. He's aware it's specific. Then we have spontaneous triggers that are triggers that we're not aware of, or it could just be all that rumination you were saying, where we're just having that constant repetitiveness, and especially in social situations where a lot of us get anxiety, especially when we have low self-esteem or self-worth, where, you know, maybe we think we said something wrong or someone, you know, we think they blew us off and we start feeling that I'm not good enough. Why is that person ignoring me? Did I say something stupid? We start going down that rumination path. So one thing you can do, and you can do this no matter where you are, is first you want to talk back to it. And not out loud. We're not saying at a party to start talking to yourself, but just really start talking back to yourself in your mind, just saying, okay, what I'm feeling right now might feel horrible. I might be feeling really anxious and fearful, but it's temporary. Just reminding yourself that whatever you're feeling at this moment, even if you're going into a full-blown anxiety attack, which could happen, just reminding yourself this is temporary. By tomorrow, later tonight, next week, I won't feel like this. The next thing is also reminding yourself it might feel harmful, all of that negativity, stress, or anxiety, but it's harmless. So I don't want you to get more anxious and start thinking, oh, you know, I'm going down that path, I'm going to get sick. You know, people really can go down that path. And if you know what it is, you know that there's a trigger here, you're not worried about anything else, like a heart attack or anything, just knowing this is harmless, this one episode, and it'll pass. The next thing is you can do a few things. Now, one, you can just start doing what we call mindfulness by using any of your senses. So even though you might be in a circle and you're having a drink, you just stop for a second and just notice. And we call it the 5-4-3-2-1 technique. We're just using your senses in any order. There's no right or wrong, but just noticing maybe what are the five things that you see looking around you, four things you hear, three things you touch, two things you taste, one thing you smell. Or if you can't even remember that, even though it's an easy one, 5-4-3-2-1, very easy to remember, just use one of your senses. And if you're at a party and you're holding a drink or you're out to dinner, you could just do something as simple as holding the drink and feeling the coolness on the drink. Or if you're out for lunch and you're holding a cup of tea, feeling the warmth, smelling the aroma, or what does it taste like? It could be any of that. If you also are in an environment where you can't just, feel the trigger and do it, you can do what we call therapeutic self-touch, where you can do a variety of things knowing what works for you. So for a lot of people, it's their hair, and you'll see them play with their hair. That's a common one. For some people, it's their ears. They'll play with their earrings, or they just touch their ear. And again, for everybody, it's different. For a lot of people, it's the collarbone area. So they'll touch the collar, or their, I have here. Some people have a necklace, or even just touching your collarbone literally is very relaxing. For others, they'll take their arms and just rub it together, and that feels warm. Others, it's touching their arms, or if you're wearing a sweater or a pair of pants or anything that's very soft, you can touch that. Any kind of therapeutic soft, kind of touch will literally relax and calm you. Ice and cold really helps if we're really getting anxious. So if you have a cold drink in your hand, putting it on your wrists will cool it off. You put it on your head, or you can put it behind your neck. And if you can't do that in public, everybody has the ability to either walk outside and just say they're going to get air or walk to the bathroom. And you can literally just put your wrist underneath cold water, or even if you're in a public restaurant, just put it underneath there, or take, paper towel, wet it, put it on your head, or again behind your neck. That will calm you instantly as well. And we're looking to calm the physical symptoms as well, because the physical symptoms, when they start to calm, it calms the rumination. Chewing gum, believe it or not, or any repetition of chewing also reduces nervousness and worry. It also improves memory, which is a bonus. So you can carry gum with you. I have some clients who will just make sure that if they know they're going into a very nervous situation where there's food involved, they'll take like carrots or celery, like if there's dip, and they'll just have something that you're constantly chewing, because the repetition of chewing again will do it. So it doesn't have to be gum, but gum works. So those are a few things: the self-talk, the using your senses, mindfulness, which is a grounding technique, or the cold. And of course, you can either, again, even if you're driving, sitting in a restaurant, you can go into a bathroom or outside, just doing some deep breathing. And again, it doesn't have to be anything major. You could just literally inhale through your nose, hold, exhale through your mouth, and repeat for about a minute. No one will really notice you're doing it. Because what happens is when we get stressed or anxious, we tend to either hold our breath or we really shallow breathe. And all of that leads to more anxiety. So just taking deep breaths. If you need more than that, again, go to the bathroom or go outside and do box breathing, which is just an inhale through your nose for a count of four, hold for a count of four, exhale for a count of four, pause for four, and then repeat it. And again, most people tell me, most of my clients, within 2 to 3 minutes, they feel calmer. So it doesn't have to be very long. And the reason why is mindfulness itself reduces your stress hormone cortisol, lowers blood pressure, it reduces chronic pain, it self-soothes, it calms you, and it brings you back to the here and now. When we get triggered, or really when we're under a lot of stress and anxiety, we're usually either in the past, thinking about what we should have done, what we could have done, regrets, or we're carrying all that baggage with us. Or if we're not in the past, we're in the future, where we have that anticipatory anxiety, worrying about what could happen, what might happen. But when we get back to the moment and we're in the present, we calm down, we're our most creative and productive. But it also, again, just reduces that stress hormone cortisol. So when you think of mindfulness, you'll think of, for a lot of people, meditation, or they'll think of like taking a yoga class. And again, those are great ways to be mindful, but the deep breathing is another one. The, therapeutic self-touch, the grounding. There's so many different forms of mindfulness. So it's really whatever you remember at the moment, what comes easiest to you, and what really works for you. So you can, try it. Like if you're deep breathing, you realize that's not working, then do the grounding. Look around. What do you see? What do you hear? If that doesn't work, go into the bathroom, put your wrist under the water. And after you've done this a few times, you start becoming aware of what works for you, what self-soothes. And the problem is, for a lot of us who grew up with trauma, we don't know how to self-soothe. As teens, even 20s, I see a lot of my college students don't know how. We didn't learn it, and We don't know how. So when we learn these coping skills and we know what works for us, it becomes more habit. And then you start realizing, okay, I'm being triggered. You know what a trigger feels like for you, what it feels like physically on your body. And you can start the mindfulness. And that's why the mind-body connection is so important. Where do you hold those negative emotions on your body? When you start feeling that, even if you don't know what the trigger is or why you're being triggered, it's the alarm going off. Okay, I'm feeling it. Here it comes again. My jaw is tight. My chest is, you know, heavy. My heart's racing. Let me start the deep breathing. And again, these are things you could do in the bathroom if you need a few minutes. Walk outside, get air. You can do while you're driving. So don't stress that you're not at home or that you're not in a private spot. And again, the self-talk we can do at any time. So those are just a few things that you can do to just help self-soothe at the moment.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I told you we could talk for days. I love it. Now, from where you are right now, you have created, and it's just hot off the press, an amazing book called Worthy, which is about self-worth. And yes. And fundamentally, when we can increase our level of self-worth, we turn up differently. We are bulletproof. Things don't affect us. We can put space between thought and action. Like all of these tools and techniques that you're sharing become second nature because we're managing everything at a different level and things just like literally water off a duck's back. So I love it. I love it. So can you dive in deeper to this beautiful book called Worthy? And we will be putting the link in the show description and also in the show notes. So tell us a little bit about the book.
So yes, I'm really excited. My book's coming out this week. I didn't know when it was coming out, but it actually is, and it's done. And it's called Worthy. And it's really a mix of my journey to finding my self-worth, along with tips and tools to help you find your own self-worth. Even just things of thinking about, like, what does self-worth mean to you? How do you define it? Why do you think you get triggered? What are your triggers? It gives you a lot of room to answer important questions. Because like you said in the beginning, part of gaining self-esteem and self-worth and healing is self-awareness. So it's self-awareness, like we said, what does bring you mindfulness? What does trigger you? What does it feel like on the body? How would you define self-worth? And those important questions, when we answer them, and sometimes it takes time, so there should be no judgment, but just answering these important questions and diving in deep can really help us heal and become more self-aware. So you'll have both in there. I share, like I said, some of my own stories, so which was really therapeutic for me, because writing is really therapeutic. And that's just another tool for anybody. I know we can't do that in the middle of a party or driving, but if you have the chance, writing out, whether it's a free write where you're just writing whatever you're feeling without any judgment, no spell check, no grammar check, just writing, or even expressive writing, writing what you think your triggers are, what you're feeling, really helps release, again, what you're holding on. So it helps with the rumination where you're having all those constant negative thoughts in your head that you feel like you just can't stop. So it's a mix of both. It's a personal story.
It is so, that is so powerful. The personal story that is really here to teach us the thing that we really need, like just the one element that you need to get from where you are to where you want to be. When you can change the way you feel about yourself, you turn up differently, you interact differently, and you stop taking things so personally. In fact, you stop looking for ways to get offended. you laugh more because things are a little bit more entertaining, and you can put that space between thought and action, which is absolutely crucial for you to be, and I'm saying you collectively, the universe.
Yeah, all of us.
Yeah, all of us too, and me included, to be able to step up and stand in your own power and turn up differently, regardless of the stories of your past. You can turn up in a different frequency, a higher frequency moving forward. This is amazing. I'm loving it. I'm reading the book. It sounds like the place to be. And it's only just been released this week, so the links will be in the show notes and in the show description. And so if you're listening today and you are a survivor of family and or domestic violence, then reach out to us at Healing Through Love. We have Pamper Days. Think day spa on steroids. We have hairdressers, makeup artists. We have different physical therapies like Bowen and also bars and quantum healing, Reiki and yoga and all of the normal ones. And at each one of these events, we have at least 25 practitioners who are there basically to hold the space for you for that day. It is free for survivors. And it is a beautiful experience. Now, we have them locally here in South Australia, but we all, as of 2023, we've now gone global. So we're holding them all over the world. So
Oh,
if
wow.
you would like to come and be blessed for us to hold that space for you for the day, reach out to Healing Through Love and we'll connect you to one that's in your community. Now, equally, if you're listening today and you are a practitioner, or a person who has the heart to make a difference for others. So you don't necessarily need to be a practitioner. You can be a hairdresser, a makeup artist, or even just do skincare or hand massages. But if you want to hold the space for someone else to grow, reach out to us because we're looking for practitioners. We'll connect you to the organizer in your local community. It is a blessing to be able to pay it forward in this way and make a difference, because just we know that just that one event can be the thing that changes how you see yourself and you turn up more worthy. And what a beautiful connection it is today to have this conversation with you, Diane. Now, in closing, I'd love you to give our audience your final words of wisdom.
Just to be gentle with yourselves, you know, to be more patient, to be kinder to yourself, being aware of how we speak to ourselves, because we all have that inner voice. And for a lot of us, that inner voice is bullying ourselves. You know, again, we talk to ourselves way, way worse than we would talk to anybody else that we really loved or cared about. So really be mindful of how you treat yourself. Make sure you have self-care, because again, we're always going to have some triggers and we're going to have both good and bad times. Life's a roller coaster ride. So the more kind we are to ourselves and compassion, the easier it is to get through any struggle that comes our way. And well, if you're in the human experience, we're going to have some struggles. So just reminding yourself to be really kind and patient with yourself and others.
I love that. Treat yourself like your own best friend. I love that. It's absolutely beautiful. It's been a privilege and a pleasure to have this conversation, and I'm looking forward to having you back down the track to have more of a deeper conversation, because I know there's more to chat about. It's a goodbye from me and a goodbye from Diane.
Thank you for having me. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Healing Through Love. You can get further resources, see the show notes, or simply reach out to us via our website at htlaustralia.org. Thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to your company next time on the Healing Through Love podcast.